Today's reading is from 1 Kings, verses 9 to 18. The Lord appears to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Father, would you send the Holy Spirit to open our ears to the words that you want to speak to us today, to open our hearts to receive those words, and to give us all the gifts that we need to do what you are calling us to do, to stand brave for your gospel. In your name, amen. So David knew that God would win the battle for him. Esther knew that she was the person that God had put in the right place at the right time to accomplish God's purposes. Elijah is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. I've said this before, my favorite book on Elijah is, it's simply the title. It says Anointed and Stressed. And I love the idea that you can be both. You can be anointed and stressed. You can be exactly where God wants you to be, doing exactly what God wants you to do, and still feel like you're at the end of yourself. We'll come back to that in a minute. For those that don't know the whole of the story of Elijah, I'm going to give a quick potted run through it, because that explains how Elijah was brave. Elijah was a prophet. He heard the voice of God. Prophets are not necessarily people that are fortune tellers. They're not there to tell you what's happening in the future. Prophets are people who hear the voice of God as a warning. The prophets come to warn the nations of what God will do if they do not turn back to him. And to be honest with you, being a prophet had about the same life expectancy as being a Spitfire pilot in the Battle of Britain. The prophets were really, really badly treated. You read the bit in Hebrews where it talks about all the awful things that the ancestors did to the prophets. Bit weird, because these people are speaking God's word, but you, like me, know that when God's saying something that we don't want to hear, we can become remarkably deaf at times. So Elijah hears the word of the Lord. Ahab is the king. He's the king of Israel, I think, if I'm right. Yes, Israel, yes. Ahab is a bad un. Not a bad un, the son of David, but a bad un. If you look at the list of the kings of Israel, there are about five who followed the Lord and about 20 who, to quote the Bible, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than all their ancestors before them. By the time God sends the nation into exile, they've got a pretty high bar to get over in order for that to be true. But they managed it. Ahab was a bad un. He'd married someone who wasn't from the tribe of Israel, a woman called Jezebel, and she was an even badder bad un. She was awful. She worshipped Baal, who's one of the false gods in that part of the world. Baal worship involved cutting yourself. It involved screaming and shouting. There are some suggestions that, like the Ashtoreth poles, there would be child sacrifice as part of that. It's really not very nice at all. Jezebel was not the sort of person who would be shaking hands going, "Oh, lovely to meet you. Oh, lovely to meet you." She's not that sort of queen. Ahab is not the kind and wise King Arthur type king. He's more like King John, you know, the phony king of England. Ahab is awful. Elijah stands up and says, this is God's word over the nation. There will be no rain for 3 years. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen pictures of the Holy Land, but it's not necessarily, bits of it are not necessarily the greenest bits. They rely on rain to live. This is a pre-industrial culture. You haven't got a refrigerated lorry nipping up from Jerusalem where there's a bit of water to bring some nice produce up. If there is no rain for a year, you do not eat. If there is no rain for 2 years, you